Let's pray and invite the Lord into this time. God, we welcome you right now into this Zoom meeting, God, that is going on, and we invite you into every physical room that we are, each of us is in. God, we thank you that you can be with each one of us together and at each place that we are in. And we welcome you now, God, to fill this time. Just as we imagine a cup being filled from empty to full, God, we ask you to come and begin to fill this time and each of the places we are in with your presence, with your spirit. God, would you cause the word to come alive? Thank you that your word is living. And thank you that you have also made us alive. Mm-hmm. We were once dead in our trespasses. God, you have made us alive in Christ. You have caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And God, and you have given us your word, which is profitable for teaching and for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that we might be complete, lacking in nothing, equipped for every good work. So we welcome you, and we commit this time. We ask for your word to open up and for you to just pour out your spirit upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. So today, let me get my Bible here. We're going to be looking at Ephesians 6 and 1 Peter 5. And we have titled this Standing and Overcoming with the Word. But I'm going to actually talk about the strength of faith. Okay. And so let's turn to Ephesians 6 first. And I'm going to be reading from verse 10 through 20. Okay. So it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Okay. I'm going to highlight that word, firm. Stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And starting with verse 16, this is where we're going to focus. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare boldly as I ought to speak. All right. I think this passage is familiar to a lot of us. Okay. We're going to focus on verses 16 through 18 today, but I want to share another passage, which is very similar. And it's in 1 Peter 5. And I know we've been looking a lot in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, starting with verse 8. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a lion, like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith. See that word firm again? Knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Okay? And so today I want to talk about the strength of faith. Okay? And it says in 1 Peter, resist him firm in your faith, right? And in Ephesians, we read, take up the shield of faith. Okay? And what I want to say is that the faith, your faith, okay, the strength of your faith, it can be firm like a shield, or it can be soft like tofu.
Yeah.
And I know some of us like tofu, but that's the one thing that came to my mind, something that is not firm. Tofu, it just disintegrates, right? And so, so as I was thinking about this, I thought of, I think all of us are familiar with Captain America, right? Captain America, any of you? Yeah.
Yes.
And Captain America has this shield, okay? And I looked it up because I knew it was composed of some amazing material. I mean, it's fiction, right? But if you believe that, okay, it's composed of this thing called proto-adamantium, okay? And it's a combination of vibranium, right? That's where like Black Panther is from, and steel alloy and some catalyst, some secret catalyst, and they created this amazing shield, okay? And the besides looking awesome and amazing, right? It's got this power, and so it absorbs kinetic energy, right? So like if you see the movies, okay, like some big dude, like the Hulk will hit Captain America's shield and Captain America doesn't go flying backwards. And the reason is because the shield absorbs that kinetic energy. And it actually, so for Captain America, it's like he feels hardly anything. The shield just absorbs everything, okay? And then he can use that shield as a weapon, okay? And so I like this imagery in Ephesians 6 where it says, take up the shield of faith, okay? So I like that. Paul talks about faith being like a shield with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, okay? So the shield of faith is just as amazing as Captain America's shield, okay? With it, we can resist the devil, all right? With it, we can extinguish all the flaming darts, every attack, every scheme of the devil, okay? But the thing is that our faith has to be firm like a shield, not soft like tofu, okay? Mm-hmm. We're gonna talk about how do we have faith like a shield, all right? Similarly, I wanna talk about our muscle. So I just wanna use some analogies to just get us thinking about something that can be strong or weak, because our faith can be strong or it can be weak. And so the strength of our muscle, mm-hmm. right? We all have muscle, mm-hmm. okay? Some of us may have a lot of muscle, some of us might not have as much muscle, but we all have muscle. And how strong it is depends on what we do with our muscle, right? So if we are inactive, if we are not using it, that muscle is going to grow weaker, right? And so I'm at a age in my life where unless I actively do something with my muscle is going to get weaker, okay? So I've gone over the hill and I need to, and the way that you make your muscle stronger, right? It's called resistance training, right? Or strength training. So unless I exert enough, unless I do enough resistance training, my muscle's not gonna get bigger or stronger. I'll at most, at best, maintain it, or it'll get weaker, okay?
Yep.
So there's this thing called resistance training whereby you work out your muscle, you break up the muscle, and it grows. That's how it grows, right? And so but here's the interesting thing. Do you guys see the word resistance training? Resistance training. And we're talking about resisting the devil. So there's two things here. The first thing is that the more you resist, the stronger you get. And if there's no resistance, you don't get stronger. Okay? I know that's kind of very simple, but we need resistance to grow stronger, right? So an easy Christian life actually is not what we want. That's not what God has. If we have an easy Christian life, it could be that the devil is just blinding us and we're just enjoying life like that. Our life is not supposed to be 100% easy. There should be resistance, okay? Because that's how we become stronger. The second thing is, with resistance training, you don't wait till you are strong to resist, right? You resist with the strength that you have. So you start with where you're at. If the only thing you can do, if the only bicep curls you can do is 2 pounds, you start with 2 pounds, and then you go to 3 pounds and 4 pounds and so forth, right? So I hope that's an encouragement. That's an encouragement for us that we start resisting with the strength that we have now. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to wait until you're stronger, because you have to resist to get stronger. Right? It's kind of a chicken and egg problem, but you find the resistance, you work against it, and you become stronger. And growing in strength, it's a long game. Right? You don't get strong by becoming a one-day weekend warrior, but you commit to it and you see results in 8 weeks. You see results in 90 days, right? So it's the same thing with the Christian life is, you know, you don't just get zapped one day and you're strong, but it's over time, okay? All right. That being said, the first thing I want to start on is the source of our faith, okay? And so we're going to talk about how our faith can become like a shield, can become firm like a shield. But let's first start with the source of our faith. Where does our faith come from? And a primary source of faith is the Word of God. Okay? And that's why we've been talking about the Word of God this past 5 weeks. So Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Right? And we see this in Ephesians 6, where part of the armor is the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. So there's a link to the Word of God and faith. But I want to talk about how this happens. How does faith come from the Word of God? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So let's really try to slow this down and try to figure out or just identify how do we get faith from the Word of God. And so I'm going to give you guys an example from my life recently. So I've been reading Isaiah 35 through 37, and it's the story of Hezekiah, King Hezekiah. And he was King Hezekiah, you know, the king of Judah. They were under the threat of the king of Assyria attacking. All right? So Assyria had threatened to attack. And so King Hezekiah, so I was reading the story, and don't turn there, okay, Daniel? Just keep. But as I was reading it, I came upon Isaiah 37:21. Okay? And I'm gonna show you guys, I don't know if you can see it, but I have a little check mark. I have a little check mark there next to verse 21. Okay? I don't know if you can see it. Anyways, what I do is when I'm reading the Bible and something strikes me, I'll put a check mark there. Okay? And this is what it says. It says, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, because you have prayed to me concerning the king of Assyria, this is the word that the Lord has spoken. Okay? It's a very simple word. It says, because you prayed to me concerning the king, this is the Lord's response. Okay? Now, what struck me was that Hezekiah had a major, major problem on his hand. His country was about to get invaded, but instead of trusting in his own resources, instead of reaching out to Egypt or other nations. He chose to trust in God. And actually, the king of Assyria mocked him for trusting God. But what he did was, he came into the house of the Lord and he prayed about it. And as a result, God gave him a response and said, this is what I'm going to do. Now, that simple thing, it spoke to me. And it spoke to me and it said, it gave me this faith to bring my burdens to God. Okay? It gave me this faith to bring whatever was burdening my heart to God, to pray to him concerning my burdens. And then it also gave me faith that God would hear my prayer and do something about it. Because I read in Isaiah 37 that that's what happened to Hezekiah. So when I read it, this faith came to me to do the same thing, and I believe the same thing would happen to me. Okay? I don't know if that's making sense, but I'm trying to describe how faith just comes as we read the word of God and something strikes us and we believe it. Okay? And that is very different than, see, all of us know we should pray. All of us know we should bring our concerns to God, right? But it, see, that's a should. It's like a we should do. Does that make sense? But when I read the word and God spoke to me, it became, I believe that's going to happen. There's a difference, okay? So a lot of us, we live in, you know this, you know this, you know this, but it's not faith. And so a lot of times we have to get into the presence of God, we have to read the word, and it becomes, what we know becomes faith, okay? And when that happens, it goes from, I know I should do this, to I'm going to do it because you have the faith to do it, okay? And so that's the source of faith, okay? And I hope that I think we all experienced this in different ways. And so this is going to be one of the questions to discuss during small group is like, describe how faith comes from the word of God in your life, okay? So now I have this little particle of faith, the small faith. And now what we're asking is, how does this turn into Captain America shield? How does this become firm like a shield? Okay. And so this is where I want to talk about resisting. So 1 Peter 5, it says, resist him, right? Let me turn to it. There's resist him firm in your faith. Okay. And so we are commanded to resist the devil firm in our faith. Ephesians 6:16 says, take up the shield of faith. So we have to take it up with our hands, okay? Not leave it on the ground, but we take it up. And here's the thing that I notice is that this faith is directed against the devil. Okay? Faith is directed against the devil. Daniel's putting up here Ephesians 6. Look at verse 12. Look how many times the word against is there. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So this is where we can go wrong, is we think the battle is against flesh and blood. We think the battle is against people or against circumstances, right? But it's actually, it says it's against the rulers. These are spiritual rulers. Against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Okay? So, and this is where we are this is the resistance, right? We are taking our faith, we're putting it against this thing. All right? And so, going back to the little faith that God gave me, right? Through Isaiah 37, I had to take that little faith and I had to put it against temptations in the schemes of the devil. And so these are some of the questions that I was asking in my head. What does this faith enable me to resist? Or another question that I would ask is, if I don't have this faith, what would I do that is less than what God had for me? Okay? And so what I realize is that without this faith, that if I brought my concerns to God, God would hear them and he would do something, I realize that I would just hold on to the burden myself, okay? And I would lack inner peace, and then I would try to solve it on my own, or it would mess me up, right? If we're just carrying burdens all day long, it messes us up. I would not have the faith to bring it, so I might bring it to him, but I might do it because it's the right thing to do, but without faith. And then finally, those things that I'm concerned about, if I don't bring it to the Lord, I'm not opening it up for God to intervene in that situation, right? And so I'm depriving myself of a chance to see God move in that situation, right? So what I found is that every day, when I wake up or throughout the day, different things happen, right? New concerns come up and I feel it in my heart. What I would do then is I would just bring it to the Lord, okay? I would bring it to the Lord and I would ask him, I would say, here it is, God. And I know you see it, you hear it. And now I'm asking you to deal with it. I would just continue to bring it up. And as I did that, I could go day by day and I would have inner peace. And I had this faith that God was going to do something, because I had brought my concern to the Lord, okay? And so what I found is that I had this little faith, but it was getting like little by little, it was slowly becoming a little shield, okay? So we use the faith, right? And we begin to resist something, okay? A second key to having our faith become like a shield, okay, versus having a weak faith like tofu, is the state of our mind is very important, okay? And we see this in 1 Peter 5. It says, be sober-minded, right? Be watchful, okay? And then in Ephesians 6, it says, keep alert with all perseverance. There's something about the state of our mind, and being sober-minded, okay, in the Bible, it means that we're not drunk, okay? Obviously, not drunk with alcohol and wine, but sometimes we can be drunk with other things. And honestly, we can easily be drunk with worldly distractions, all right? And we live in an age where we have the TV, we've got the internet, we've got our phone, which gives us access to lots of distractions. Okay, we have all these open portals. And if we want our faith to become like a shield, we have to exercise self-control and not become drunk, but we have to remain sober-minded. Okay, now sober-minded does not mean we abstain from every distraction. That's impossible. I don't know anyone who can do that. Okay. We all need a little distraction. We all need a little something, right? But there's a difference between just a little something, right? Like it's okay to watch a movie once in a while versus being drunk with movies, right? Where you're just watching it all the time and you can't wait for the next one and that's all you're thinking about, right? So it's like when you drink, right? It's like you can drink a little bit of wine and you might not be drunk. But there's a tipping point at which you've had too much and you're a little drunk, right? And then you're no longer sober-minded. And so the key thing is we exercise self-control and we don't go past that tipping point, right? And so it says, be sober-minded, be watchful, right? We just gotta watch we just gotta kind of watch what we're consuming, what we're allowing into our minds, okay? Because if we lose that, then this faith kind of evaporates, right? So it says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Now it's interesting why 1 Peter 5 and Ephesians 6 says to be watchful. It says, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Okay? And then in Ephesians 6, it says, be alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And I found that very interesting, how we're to be sober-minded because of other people in the body of Christ. Okay? And I didn't make this connection until I looked at these passages and I looked at it. So I want to go into this, and why does Paul say in Ephesians 6, make supplication for the saints, and why this is important to our faith? Okay? And I want to just share four kind of sub-points under making supplication for all the saints. So the first point is that we all share a common foe. We all share a common enemy, okay? And the devil, one of his schemes is to isolate us, okay? He does a conquer and divide. He likes to isolate us. He likes to make us think that our Christian life is just personal, just on our own, individual, that we got to make it on our own, okay? The devil likes to make us think that the problems that we're going through is just us, okay? It's just our problem. Maybe we're so messed up, et cetera, et cetera, okay? But that's a complete lie, okay? 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. Okay, everything that we face, okay, you might think you're completely neurotic, right? But it's actually common to man. You're not the only one. We're not the only, I'm not the only one who has that struggle, okay? And what it tells us is that there are others facing the same thing, okay? And so 1 Peter 5:9 says, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced throughout the world. So the first thing is that we all share a common foe, and so we pray for one another against a common foe. All right? And I'm hoping that, you know, as you guys come to the gathering, right, that we pray for one another, right? We pray for one another afterwards. But we were praying for one another outside of this time. Right? We're thinking of each other, and God may put a burden on our heart. Oh, pray for this person today. You might be like, nah, right? But that might be the Holy Spirit, right? Causing us to make supplication for all the saints. The second sub point is that we are in a battle, which is actually the Lord's battle. Okay? And if you've been a Christian for a while, you know, you hear the phrase, the battle belongs to the Lord, okay? And a lot of times we can be very nearsighted, okay? And as I speak this, I'm preaching this to myself, because I can be very nearsighted. I can be focused on my own problems and my own battles. My battles, my problems, right? But what we have to realize is that our little battle is a small part of the big battle that's going on between God and the devil. Okay? And we know God's going to win at the end, right? But right now there's a battle. There's a battle between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And our individual battles are a small part of that. Okay? And so that's why we're called to make supplication for the saints. And that's my third point, which is that, again, we're so trained to think of ourselves in an individualistic way. But you know what the Bible says is that we're all members of one another. Okay, it says that when we were baptized into the body of Christ. Okay, so we're all part of one body. Okay, and so the church is called the body of Christ. It's a single body. It's not a metaphor. It's a real thing. Okay, it says when one suffers, we all suffer. Okay, so right now when Gary is sick, right, and he hasn't been able to make the gathering, right, we pray for him. We all suffer because he is suffering. Okay, and the devil wants us to make us think in a very individualistic way. Okay, and I have to admit this too, right? I don't think, yeah, I am part of the body of Christ, and so is Scott, and so is Mona, so is John, so is Justin, so is Karen, right? I tend to think of them, oh, they're individuals, okay? But we have to shift our mindset here. Okay, the Word of God has to shift our mindset. And so the way we have to think is when one person goes down, right? It's like if you're, imagine an army battle, right? You fight with your brothers, and if one goes down, that's going to hurt your chances, right? And so that's why we pray for one another, because we're all part of the same body, we're part of the same battle, okay? And obviously, we can't pray for everyone in the world, but there's going to be specific people that God calls us to, okay? And then the fourth sub-point is this. Some of us might be asking, you know, God knows everything. God is all powerful. So why do we need to pray, right? And it is very true that God is powerful. He knows everything. He could do everything and take care of everything without us. But he has chosen to do it in us and us, okay? He has called us to participate in his kingdom, right? And so we're not to be passive bystanders, but we're supposed to be priests, right? We're a kingdom of priests. And so praying for others, I want us to really take this to heart, and I'm taking this to heart, is God's calling us to make supplication for all the saints. And it's a very important piece of having our faith firm like a shield. Okay, and I think you would find this, that when your faith is strong, you're praying for others, right? And when we're praying for others, it makes our faith firm. Praying for others is God's remedy for the wrong kind of self-concern that makes us nearsighted and self-consumed. Okay, and so making supplication for all the saints is a gateway to being freed from self. The wrong kind of self-concern, all right? So when you guys have time, you can read 1 Peter 5 again and read Ephesians 6, because it's very interesting how in Ephesians 6, Paul goes to the armor of God, and then he ends with saying, make supplication for all the saints and pray for me. Also, right? Lastly, we're talking about how our faith can be firm like a shield. I want to just highlight the importance of perseverance, persistence, and steadfastness. Okay? So 1 Peter 5 says, resist him, resist the devil, firm in the faith, right? And implicit in that is he's saying be steadfast in the faith. Persevere in that faith. Stay at it. Ephesians 6 says, keep alert with all perseverance. It says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. Praying in the Spirit at all times, right? So there's a way we're supposed to do this with perseverance, persistence, and steadfastness. And I know I use the analogy of Captain America's shield. You know, something I love about Captain America is that You know when he gets beat up by stronger enemies? Sometimes he'll get beat up. He'll get back up, right? And he'll say, I can do this all day. There's Captain America, right? Do you guys remember that? He'll say, I can do this all day. And he's like bleeding from his face, you know, and he's like, I can do this all day. And that's, he has a certain perseverance, right? He has a certain persistence about it, okay? And I want to encourage us and exhort us to have that mindset, right? And remember last week, I shared this about how continuing is the key to training in righteousness. And so I want to just read that again for us, where Paul told Timothy, continue. As for you, continue in what you have learned and in what you have believed. Okay? It's such a simple thing. You just continue. You just refuse to quit. Okay? You refuse to get knocked to the ground and not get up. Right? There's something about Captain America that inspires us, right? When he says, I can do this all day. Okay? And because God has made alive in Christ through the resurrection of Christ, right? That spirit is in us. That's called the overcoming spirit. All right? And finally, I'll just end with this, is the promise. After we have stood, right, and resisted the devil, here's the promise. James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Okay? So imagine like a battle scene in a movie, right? After this great battle, right? And the victor is standing there. He's all tired and weary, exhausted, but the enemy is gone. The enemy has been defeated. The enemy has fled. Okay? That's the promise God has. Okay? Is after we have resisted, the devil will flee. That's an amazing thing. 1 Peter 5:10, after you have suffered a little while, remember, a little while. You have to last a little while. We have to stand and resist for a little while. After the enemy flees, it says, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Okay? And so with that, I will just share the discussion questions that we can go over in small group. Is number one is, describe the mysterious way in which faith comes by hearing the word of God. Describe that, how that happens for you, how you have experienced that, okay? Number two, and number three, this is where you have to reflect a little bit, is what habits do you have that cause your faith to become firm like a shield? Okay? And the flip side of it is, what habits do you have that cause your faith to become like tofu? Okay? Or not very useful, right? If you can identify those habits, that's the leverage point, right? And you can make changes there by the grace of God.